Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 527, Ford v. Ferrari. Not versus. No, V. Yes. Because this is probably why I made $30 million.
I know, they got scared off.
People love the V, right?
I was like, they got scared off. And they were like, no, I saw that with Batman versus Superman.
It worked out for Batman v. Superman, yeah. So how could it fail here?
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. Just go there and subscribe. Never miss an episode. Like our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. Join the group while you're there. And, of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month gets you all sorts of bonus content and the pride of knowing you helped out.
And there's a companion piece up there right now for last week's episode. We tackled Dr. Sleep here, and Joe and I talked about The Shining in depth over there. So
I love that movie so much.
Awesome. So there's all that. I guess let's dig in, shall we?
I forgot how much I love like racing / car movies. Like this really definitely, this one made me think about like Bullet, which I guess really isn't a racing movie, but it is kind of like a massive car chase. The French Connection.
I feel like there's a difference though between there's car movies like heist movies that have cars, Italian Job that kind
for
of
sure, yeah.
And then there's racetrack movies like Rush, directed by Ron Howard, which was really great
Drive.
A few years ago.
Starring Sylvester Stallone.
Oh. Okay. So, okay. So there's a difference between like the racetrack movies and the car
movies. I agree. I don't like the Fast and Furious movies. I take that back. I appreciate them for the big piles of garbage that they are.
But they aren't car movies anymore.
Not anymore.
You know, if you look at how far they've come from one, what it's evolved. I mean, that first movie was about a heist, smuggling DVD players. That was what it was. There was a truck of DVD players that was getting heisted, and this was happening all over. And so, so a detective has to go track it down.
Undercover detective.
Yeah, and now they're saving the world from nuclear terrorists.
There's a whole new organization led by Kurt Russell.
My DVDs were getting stolen, and now someone's trying to threaten the world.
20 years later, they become super agents in the super secret. But yeah, so being like, Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry, or Vanishing Point. I know that
Macon
you don't.
County Line.
That's a great one.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Race with the Devil. Smokey and the Bandit, that's a great choice.
Little Nicky.
All right. What the hell happened there, but all right.
Duel
is fantastic. Duel is so good.
Sugarland Express.
Yeah. Also, and so, like, I love those movies. I appreciate this in the same vein. Like, if I can get, like I saw in the last episode, if I can get one of these, like, once every 1 to 2 years, I'm in. Like, we loved Rush. I loved Rush.
Rush was great. I loved it. This one was okay, and it was an interesting story. I knew nothing about this story.
No, me
nothing
either.
Going on. I didn't know these people. Didn't know what happened. Didn't know anything about it. Great actors in it. I mean, Matt Damon, Christian Bale, they're great. But it was just too long.
It was definitely too long. I agree.
Like, I I you know, it's funny because critics are raving about it, but I landed exactly where you did, where it was like, this is not a bad movie.
No, it's interesting.
But it did not kick my ass. And
it's a snooze fest. Rush was like Daniel Brühl and
Chris Hemsworth.
And Chris Hemsworth were awesome in that movie. Yeah. It was just more entertaining.
And Natalie Dormer.
Yeah. But they were just entertaining in that movie so you had a fascinating story. You had a rivalry between drivers, which there was a rivalry here, but it wasn't as personal.
Right.
And
in between drivers or between Bale and Damon?
No. Like there was a rivalry of the companies and the drivers. They don't get personal about it. And it just didn't catch my interest to where this one, it was just like.
So I liked the idea of the lighting the fire under Henry Ford. He's the second?
No, yeah, he's the second. That's what they called him.
The deuce.
So, like, I like the idea of him being like, no, man, like.
He says, you're not Henry Ford.
Man, that was a good line.
Oh, that's a good line.
He's like, oh, really?
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. I like lighting the fire under his ass and, like, trying to beat the Italians, which I was like.
There are certainly things to like about this movie. Yeah.
He called them WAPs in this movie?
He did.
Yeah. I could feel
Brian turn and look at me.
He was
just like, I was like, I'll let it go.
I mean, how do you think the Ford company, like, I mean, I get that it's a different time and whatever, but still, you're presenting modern companies.
Yeah.
And the owner of the company is using that like, I'm like, wow,
that's even one of those terms.
Was glad it was in there.
Yeah.
Because because that's how they would have talked.
First off, because
the Italians, am I right?
I'm Sicilian, so it's fine.
But I was glad it was because that's how people like that talk back
then. Sure. Yeah.
So it's like, what's the right answer here, right? Like, in terms of, like, if you whitewash that, then now you're painting this guy in a light that maybe he shouldn't be painted in.
Yeah.
And also, like, don't forget, his father is a famous anti-Semite.
Right.
Like, he backed Hitler.
Exactly.
Like, you know, so, I mean, he had a publication that was designed, like, basically just to remind people, or not remind people, but to tell people that Jews controlled the banks. Yes. I mean, like, that's where this guy came from. So to pretend like he
there's
wouldn't
not some
in a heat of anger used a racial epithet against another group of people like
who were beating him
like, of course he's gonna say that.
And I agree with what you're saying, and I totally think they would have, and these car executives were huge douchebags.
Yeah.
So I would like, but I also am just like, if he didn't say that and it was the same scene, I wouldn't have missed it. I wouldn't have been like, well, they should have thrown around some, you know,
and that's
like,
and that's
they
fair,
didn't
but,
have to do it, but it, doing it, I get it.
And I'm just saying, like, it's this weird point in our history of like you don't want to disparage a group of people like that, which is good,
right?
But also, like, in a moment like that, that is who that guy is.
Oh, for sure.
And that is who people like that are. And so, in an effort to not offend the modern day viewer, you're actually kind of helping out this guy's image retroactively.
Right.
Yeah, so, like, where do you land? I know, so, like, some people were outraged about the Disney Plus thing about, like, putting a note in front of movies that were, like, contains outdated.
Which is insane to me.
I know, I'm like,
they're doing the right thing.
Like, and
most people are mad because they didn't say what it was for. They just said, oh, this was of its time. And I think the Looney Tunes ones say what they're depicting.
I don't think they do.
But people are mad that Disney was like trying to be like, oh, look, we're putting this message, but they don't give you the warning.
I feel like the Warner Brothers.
I don't know. Everything I saw in comments on Facebook were like, this people need to toughen up.
No.
You know, and I'm just like,
no.
I'm like, they put a note in front of it. No. So, like, if you don't want to see it, you don't have. They didn't change it.
Right.
Like, I'm glad that they're not going back and editing those things.
That I would much rather them have a warning in front than edit anything.
But put a note, but give people a heads up
of what
they might be in for that at the time nobody thought was offensive, but nowadays we feel differently.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, to me, that feels like a good way to kind of split that hair of like, hey, if this is a problem
split
for you, FYI, this happens in this movie, but we're not going to completely.
Do I think it should go in front of current movies? No, I don't. Like,
no.
Do I think like they should be a warning? Be like, look, there's going to be some stuff in here. That's why movies rated R.
Right.
You know, do I think that it should be in front of maybe a culturally inappropriate cartoon or a movie? Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
People are just, I mean, who does it bother? I mean, it's a little warning on there. Just don't look at it. Like,
what's the thing? I think the Warner Brothers one, for a while, it was Whoopi Goldberg was like doing like a video intro.
Yeah.
Where she's like, look, there's going to be stuff in here that is culturally inappropriate, but it would deteriorate what the product was. And
right.
We're not going to do that. Like,
I think Song of the South is her favorite movie. She's a big proponent of getting
serious?
That released. Yeah. A lot of black people love that movie. I mean, it's a whole thing. But
I wonder if that's going to show up. I wonder if given, I don't know.
Bob Iger says don't expect it anytime soon.
I don't doubt that.
I think if you were ever going to get it, it would have been when they were doing those Disney 10s.
Yeah.
Because they were super expensive for their time.
Sure.
And they were limited print runs.
They're like archival. They were
for the diehard collectors, and it was not targeted, even though it was cartoons and children's entertainment.
Yeah.
That packaging was not targeted to children. And so I think that if you were on
the back end of disc four.
Right. If you were ever going to get one, you'd have got. And that, from what I heard, they were real close to putting it out in a Disney 10.
Oh, really?
I think they thought that was their end run around this, and then they backed off.
There's been a couple times where it looked like they were going to, and there was even talk of, will it be on this service? But, you know, it's probably not ever going to happen. If you want to find it, it's out there.
It's out there. You can find
it. You can buy legit copies from other countries that actually were released. Like, if you want to find it, you can find it. So you're
it's
not
the internet, man. Like, you can,
yeah. But I mean, you can like legally purchase real copies from Japan and, you know, other countries.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not going to see it on Disney Plus. Go buy it if you have to have it. But yeah, I think that's silly for people to make a big deal out of a warning. Like, they're just putting it out there, and you know, people don't need to toughen up. People need to be a little more.
If you're upset about the warning, and you're upset about them if they edit the movie. If you're upset about both of those things, then you're basically just saying, I want there to be racist depictions in these movies, and I want people to be offended by it, and I want people to be blindsided by it, because F them.
I feel...
I don't know any other way to
interpret
that.
There isn't any, because you're not wrong.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. I feel like it in 2019, that is the appropriate way.
Kids are watching
to
this
handle
stuff.
It.
Like, just because you, as a 60-year-old adult out there, you know, whoever's on these internet, like, oh, I watch these cartoons and I'm mad about these warnings. Like, but there's 7-year-old kids watching this, and they should know. And parents who may not have seen them, like, they should know it's there and be able to choose whether or not their kids watch it.
Yeah,
and it's like, that doesn't affect you. You can watch it. Just it's a warning.
It's a little bloop.
Right.
Fast forward right through it. It's gone.
Whatever.
Yeah. I'm not going to bootleg it, but I still had to sit through an FBI warning.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But okay, boomer. Okay,
yeah,
boomer.
Exactly. But you're never going to please everyone. That's the problem. And I was hearing,
especially
someone,
they're going to go after Disney. Like, it's Disney. It's the easiest target of all targets.
Yeah. You get the very vocal minority on the internet, but most people do not have a problem. It's a non-issue.
It's the whole dogma thing where they're just like, no, Disney can't, like, I guess it was whoever was putting out Dogma was owned by Disney, and people were just like, you can't do an anti-religion movie, Disney. And then they're like, okay, cool. And it went to Miramax, or it went to the Weinstein Company, and they're like, woo. And they're like, yeah, but it's still coming out. They're like, yeah, but Disney's not doing it.
Weird.
Yeah. That was like a legitimate argument as to why they didn't want Dogma to come out, was because they didn't want Disney to put it out, but it came out anyway. So it's just like, cool.
So Matt Damon.
Yes. So Matt Damon plays
Carroll Shelby.
Carroll Shelby, the creator of the Shelby GT Mustang. It's named after him, for Christ's sake. And it's obvious that he was a race driver at one point, and he...
I would say, so he's most famous for the Shelby Cobra.
Cobra, yeah.
And he does enhancements back in the 60s. He made he did the Shelby Mustang, which was a performance update to the Mustang, and then in the 2000s, they did a kind of a nostalgic, like, hey, we're re-releasing the Shelby Mustang. And so he's enhancement guy. You know, he's a car builder and enhancement guy, but he won Le Mans in like 58 or 59.
Is he like the first American to do it or something?
But he had health issues, and so he was forced to retire after he won because he had some kind of heart issue.
Right.
And that's why, so he just went to building his
own cars. And so and basically at the same time while all of this is going on, we see that Ford is not in the dumps, but like not doing to Henry Ford II, not doing what they should be doing. And there's a scene where he kind of walks up and he turns off he's like, turn everything off. And turns off all the machines. And it's interesting. Like, he does kind of make a joke and everybody kind of laughs, but he doesn't laugh. It's like one of those awkward moments where you're just like, oh crap, I shouldn't have laughed. Like, that was not a good time to laugh. And basically he says, if you do, everybody walk home. Like, that's what my dad would do. Like, he'd walk home and he came up with this idea.
Yeah, this was dumb.
Yeah, I don't really, this like, is one of those parts they could have taken out.
Well, it was also dumb because he's like going to the factory. He's like, we need ideas. I'm like, why are you bitching at factory workers right there, about not having ideas?
Bitch at these guys.
Right. It's like, it's not a factory worker's job is to turn a screw
and
to
sit,
sit it down to the next guy to turn the next screw.
Right.
I'm like, he's sitting there screaming at these factory workers because they haven't invented a new carburetor. I'm just like, what the hell,
these
hell
guys
is wrong
are just
with
like,
this guy?
Come up with an idea. I just turned a screwdriver.
If any one of those bastards would have came and knocked on his door, he'd have fired him on the goddamn
right.
spot.
He's like Mr. Like, Burns. It's just so yeah. So the John Bernthal kind of plays like the head in charge of like the advertising and commercialism of Ford at this point. And he kind of says, he's like, the people coming back.
He plays Lee Iacocca,
which is a great name.
Mm-hmm. Well, he saves Chrysler. He goes on to save
pretty
Chrysler.
Famous.
Is that very, he's oh, very famous.
Oh, okay.
Like when Chrysler in the 70s almost went bankrupt and they brought in Lee Iacocca to save it. And it was like this big deal because Lee Iacocca had been a Ford guy.
He
goes to Chrysler and he, like, I mean, he's pretty much credited with single-handedly saving the company and was very famous for it and like wrote a book and was a bestseller, was like one of the most famous like
car people
business people.
Oh, sure.
Quite
sure.
frankly. Yeah.
So he basically says, he's like, people coming back from World War II don't want to drive like, or they coming back from
and Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't want to drive their parents' cars.
Right.
Like
well, he says that their kids
now right.
Are like, they want things that are fast and look cool.
And they don't want to drive a Plymouth.
And basically he is figuring out what marketers were starting to figure out, which is the buying power of youth cultures or
For sure.
Baby boomers.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's who these kids were.
Yeah.
This was the baby boomer generation.
It was starting to hit in full force. And that's why you saw, I mean, you could see it in the music, like, right? That's when the Beatles became so popular.
Right.
Because those kids had money and they could buy things.
And he says that. He's like, these kids are going to buy these cars. And Ford is kind of hesitant. He's like, look, the Ferrari bankrupted himself. Like, now this is our opportunity right now. He bankrupted himself on building these cars, but the people love these cars.
Yeah.
So if we go over
there. He's making great cars, but not great business.
Right. So if we go over there and we buy him out, like, we're sitting pretty. Like, we can manufacture the cars. We get the look.
They're winning races, too.
Right.
Like, Ford is not a racing company. So they can be thought of as a car company.
They're
like
building family cars.
Yeah.
And even the Mustang was originally targeted as a family car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was not perceived initially, at least from Ford's perspective, as a sports car.
That's why it started off as a box on wheels. Have you seen an original Mustang?
Yeah.
They don't look like the one that me and Crystal have. They look like boxes.
I like the Eleanor is the one that I like. Mm. Yeah. So they go to Italy. They sit down with Mr. Ferrari, not Tina's grandfather. And they have a deal in place and everything's ready to go. And then so when Bernthal gets there, there's a guy taking pictures and Bernthal's like, get out. Like,
yeah. He doesn't want,
don't,
pictures,
I don't want to see, I don't want to see this on the front page. And of course the, little Igor looking guy is like, no. Like, this is for us. Like, this is just for our people. It's
like, he thinks it's paparazzi, but they're like, no, we're documenting history.
Right.
Or something.
But it is kind of paparazzi.
Yeah.
We find out later. So this guy, deal in place, where Ford gets, like, it's 90-10 split. Mm. Ford gets the rights to produce the cars, and then Mr. Ferrari says, if I want to race in Le Mans, do I have to ask you to race? And they say yes, and if we say no, you don't go. And it's like,
Even Iacocca is like, he's like, but why would we say no to that? Like, he's like, this is,
he is
what,
yeah,
you,
that, that's
what you're
kind
worried
of,
about is a non-issue.
Right.
It's almost like saying, like, well,
like,
what if I don't want to put a windshield in a car? Like, it's like, of course,
right.
You know, but, you know, he's like, this is a non-issue, but
it's becoming an issue.
But he doesn't like the idea of giving up his complete control. And it's his name on it.
It is. And so the, like, assistant runs downstairs and calls Mr. Fiat, apparently,
yeah.
And says, look, we got this deal. What can you do to sweeten the pot, basically? And after Bernthal says no to the Le Mans thing, Mr. Ferrari says, I'm out. like, I'm done.
Deuces.
He goes back to the States as soon as they get back to the States.
Well, and I took it as, like, that was always the plan. Like,
I thought they were driving the price up.
That they were using Ford to leverage.
That's the way I took it as
pressure
well.
Fiat to come in and buy them because, you know, because they wanted to show that somebody wanted them.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I felt like they were trying to
took the pictures and ran them right over to the Fiat guy and was like, this is happening.
Right. You have an option, right? And this is what they're offering. What can you do to make it better? So I felt like they were trying to raise the stock of the...
Ferrari basically says that his Italian honor is deeply insulted by that. Like, they take big offense to that.
The look on Bernd... I don't think... John Bernthal is a very good actor.
Bernthal's like acting
he's
in this
really
movie.
Good.
Like,
Bernthal
seriously.
Is a classically trained actor.
Yeah,
he's trained in Russia to Russia's big acting school.
But we
like,
know him as the Punisher and the bad guy from The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
right. But, I just love to see him actually acting because he is so good.
But he's been in some real stuff too. I mean, he Wind River and he was in.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, I know that he's a great director, but not a great human being. But he was in that Roman Polanski movie a few years back. Like, he can work at that
level. It's
just
a nice reminder that he's not always playing, like, you know, the bad guy in Baby Driver.
Because
you know?
Of his looks, he's got that kind of smushed-in tough guy face.
He's got the non-Frank Grillo face.
Yeah, that he gets cast as these kind of, like, dumb borderline apes that are just going to be there to beat you up. But,
he's great in this movie.
He's the real deal.
It's a nice reminder, and it's great to see, like, Damon not being in big action movies, but Damon doing some acting, you know, like The Martian's the last time I can really remember him doing something and then Christian Bale doing
Damon's been in some but he did that Coen Brothers movie that wasn't very good. That wasn't the Coen Brothers one. The Suburbicon. Downsizing is what you're
saying. I did like Downsizing.
I like the first hour of Downsizing.
But like in this one, I mean, he's really acting.
Yeah.
You know, he's really getting into the character.
When he does that voice, I mean, I just can't not see Jesse Plemons.
It's tough.
Especially because of Friday Night Live.
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights. And he like really has that.
He has that Southern drawl.
Yeah. And it's like, it was really hard not to see Jesse Plemons.
We're just like, if we don't get Matt Damon, can we get Jesse Plemons?
When they make the TV version of Ford versus Ferrari.
Right. So we flash back to they cut back to the States, and there's a headline in the paper that Fiat buys Ferrari.
And remember, he asks what did Ferrari
say?
And then he tells him, and that's when he goes into the whole thing like, you're not
right,
Henry Ford.
You're not
the second.
Yeah. So then we cut forward to.
But he says anything. He says whatever it costs, we're gonna build a race car.
Yeah, and we're gonna win.
Yeah.
So we see Christian Bale. Who plays Ken Mills, who is like a British... Is he British?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bale gets to do his
real
accent.
Well, it's always weird when I get to hear him do his real accent because
he always
never does
it. I know.
He never does it.
It was nice to see him actually do a Welsh accent.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
And he's like... He's a single mechanic in his own little place, and he's just... the scene, I love this scene where the guy's like, you've messed up my car. He's like, you're not even driving it right. Like, you're driving it all wrong. And it turns out that maybe he's a little bit further behind on the taxes than he would like. And the IRS shows up and kind of shuts down his garage. So he has to take this job basically working for Shelby. Mm-hmm. And Shelby and Mills working for Ford to get this car right. And it's like this is the part of the movie that I loved, is them, the trial and error, trying to, you know... Bale driving the car and being like, nope, you got to take this out, it's too heavy here. Like, I like their camaraderie, I think, comes off on, like, I like them together.
I like their chemistry, but I'm not a huge car person, so like, just spending so much time on gearboxes and brakes, that just bores me.
I think if it's your thing, this movie's going to be a lot more interesting. But I'm
watching them drive and then be like, the gearbox and the third shifter, but I'm
right.
just like, okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I like. I like him trying to like,
and a lot of people love it.
Right.
Like trying to break, break down the car.
That's a very real thing. But
if you want to make this a sub 2-hour movie, you know,
that's
I'm
fair.
Like,
I do agree that it is. There's some. You could cut that whole scene out with Henry Ford and the in the car and the plant. Like that whole scene can go
totally.
You know. So I do agree that it was a little long.
Yeah. It was at least a half hour too long. It did not need to be 2.5 hours.
No.
That's just
it did not.
So it turns out that Ken Mills is
Miles.
Miles, sorry.
Ken Mills hosts the Monkeys podcast.
Yeah, that's exactly listener of the show, Ken Mills. Yeah. Is a great driver. And he's racing in
but he's a loose cannon.
He's a hothead.
He doesn't put up with any guff.
Doesn't play by the book.
Doesn't play by the rules at all.
Plays
by his own rules. So that Shelby comes to him and says, "Look, we need you to drive this car." And he was just like, "Cool." Like, and I guess the offer. So he races. He goes home. He finds out that the IRS took the thing, and he tells his wife. He's like, "All right, like I." And this is the thing is like he's not an asshole. Like he's a good dude. He's a good man. He says to his wife, he's like, "You're right. I'm out."
But he doesn't have people skills.
He does not have people skills.
He's one of those guys that like he's right, you're wrong, and he doesn't want to hear anybody else talk
about
it.
He's rough around the edges, but he does right by his family. Like he doesn't bat an eye when she says, "You got to quit." He's like, "Okay."
He's a good person. That's all that's to it. It's he's got his head and heart in the right place.
Right. He's working at he's working for somebody making X amount of dollars, and Shelby comes to see him and says, this is what we're going to do. She sees him. His wife, Bale's wife, sees him come home and hop in a car with Shelby. And she's just like, "You mother." So he comes back and she was like, I know what you did. Like I saw you driving away, and he gives her the price.
Isn't it? They're driving in a car.
He's driving a car, and Shelby lays out the plan, and this is what they want to do. And he doesn't commit. He being Christian Bale does not commit. So this wife, I love this scene too, where like the wife is driving like a bat out of hell, and he's freaking out. Like he's freaking out in the car with her. And then he tells her how much they're going to pay.
Like 200 a day,
200 a week.
Oh wait. Okay.
Which is back then. I'm sure it was ridiculous.
No, it was
money.
200 a day.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. It was a lot of money.
Like, 200 a day.
Yeah. And he was just like,
"Why didn't you say that?"
Yeah. She's just like, "Why are you sitting here?" Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he takes the job, of course. And so now you've got these different like factions. So you've got Henry Ford, who wants to beat the Ferrari company. You've got Josh Lucas.
And then this douchebag, guy made
he's
me
the
so,
worst.
He is. And so props to Josh Lucas for being a great actor and making you hate this person. But this guy and Ford made me so mad in this entire movie and how they treated Ken Miles and the stuff that they pulled. Like, it makes me not even want to drive a Ford because they made me so irritated.
You're a Ford.
I understand. That's what I'm saying. Like,
buy a Corvette.
This movie made me so frustrated watching it, and especially that Josh Lucas D-bag character.
He's one of those guys who is a perfect douchebag.
Yeah.
He's always a douchebag, and he was the dude. Like, even in that bad Ang Lee Hulk movie, he's a douchebag in that. And
but
he's,
you just hate him. In this movie. And he's like a vice president in charge of overseeing the Mustang. And
he's
the,
like Ford's number two.
Yeah. But he's a vice president of the company. But he's in charge of the Mustang. Like from the time that Christian Bale and his son show up. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Get your kid, get your hands off the paint job
too."
And all that. But I'm just like, "Oh, this guy's a douche." And the stuff that he pulls trying to get Ken Miles away from driving.
At least that car. Yeah.
And toward the end, we'll get there. But it just makes me so mad. I can't believe the way that they treated them. And
just to give you an idea, $200 a day adjusted for inflation would be $1,565 a day. So that works out to $571,000 a year.
See ya. Yep. I'll go drive a car and fix it for that.
Don't know why they were still in that same house at the end of the movie, but
maybe they didn't get all the money.
Well, they've been doing it for 2 years.
I guess
that
that's
point.
True. That's true.
They do a year where they lose, and then they do, and then they do a whole nother year
where they're winning.
Where they're winning,
they have to pay those back taxes.
Yeah,
that's true.
Depending on how much he owed,
and they're humble.
Yeah. So they work on this car, and this is the stuff that I love. It's just
trial error.
Yeah, just
brakes
making
are going
making things working, and then there is a pretty intense scene where he's got Christian Bale has that car firing on all cylinders, and then all of a sudden the brakes give out. And his son is there. And
it's
called
Chekhov's brakes.
I got to tell you, though, if they cast a Dick Grayson, this kid could be the Dick Grayson in the Batman stuff. Because they cast Brits for everything else.
Well, we already know he's great at watching his parents die.
Yeah, right.
Spoiler.
So he gets out of the car. And, of course, the kid's freaked. Like, he's freaked out. And I do, I like the old man where he's just like, "Look, man, as long as those suits are, like, fireproof. So as long as you get out, you're good." Yeah. I was like, well,
that won't play a role later.
That's coming back at some point.
I've never noticed this actor before that talks to that kid about that. That character's name, I believe, was Remington.
Ooh.
But he was so good.
He's really good.
I'm like, why have I not seen, because he's not a kid.
No.
You know, and I'm like, why have I not seen this guy more? Yeah, he was really good.
I liked that trio. Like the three of them working together, I liked a lot.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's a character actor. He shows up in stuff for sure. I'm trying to think because I see a picture on IMDb of him with more hair.
Yeah.
And like you've seen him in stuff. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's been in a lot of stuff. I've never really noticed him before.
In the new Footloose, he's
the Jerry
uncle.
Orbach here? Oh.
He's the uncle of, you know, like the main character that comes to live with his aunt and uncle or whatever.
Yeah.
He's the uncle. That's where I recognize it from because I watched that again with Katie recently.
Jerry Orbach's in Dirty Dancing, not Footloose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the remake, too.
Sure. So just trial and error, of course. The kid is super freaked out. He does not like the idea of his old man racing in these cars because it's not completely safe.
So they soup up these cars. These are the GT40s.
Yes.
They soup them up. They get them all ready to go. And then the Ford D-bags are like, yeah, Miles isn't driving.
Right.
He's not our guy. He's not the Ford image.
They don't trust that he'll follow their instructions on how to get these cars
right.
to
he
win.
Is not in the image that they want the driver of Ford to be.
Yeah.
And you can feel it with Matt Damon where he's like, sorry, dude. Like, if it were me, if it were up to me, I would, you're my driver, but it's not up to me anymore.
It's a rough scene because Damon basically Shelby calls Miles into his office and he's like, yeah, we're going to change the gearbox last minute. Whatever,
oh yeah.
Blah, blah.
Yeah. Miles is going a mile a minute. Yeah. No pun intended.
Yeah. And then he's like, yeah, you're not going.
Right.
And it's a heartbreaking scene. And, you know, we know Christian Bale is a hell of an actor, but it's the character, instead of exploding or being a hothead, I mean, you can tell it hits him hard and he's just like, all right, I'm going to get back out there and fix the whatever.
Right,
it's rough, and you can see it on Damon's face that he doesn't want to do this, like Joe says, and it's a really good scene, but then Ford ends up losing.
Yeah, and I do like that they're all listening. Like, he stays at the shop overnight or for however long that is, and the wife comes by and gives him, like, who's watching
just
that
listening
kid?
To
Where's that kid? Just hanging out at home, just left the kid at the house? Huh? Latchkey kids.
He's not that young, though.
I think he's pretty young.
He's not that young.
Not old enough to be left alone at home while his mom goes.
How old do you think he was? I guess
that's true.
How old do you think he was?
He's probably 10.
Yeah.
I would say 8 or 10.
Yeah, I mean, if I run an errand, Ryan is 10. He can stay at the house, and this is 2019. Like,
absolutely not. I would never leave my daughter at home at 8.
Well, Ryan's 10.
Oh, right. Okay. That's fair.
He can step for, if I go to the store real quick to get something, like, he's fine. And he can call me if he needs me. I mean, I'm just, and yeah, this is the 60s, so I think that's perfectly acceptable to go check on dad at the shop while, yeah.
So they come back and Ford's pissed. Like, he's pissed and he, they bring him down.
Oh, yeah, you douche. You didn't listen to the guy you hired, Shelby, the car expert, the winner of Le Mans, who's and your driver, who's the expert driver. And then he's like, tell me why I shouldn't fire you right now, blah, blah, blah. I just hate this macho car douchebaggery stuff. It's like, you know, listen, you executives, you know, you hired these people because you wanted to win. Then you don't listen to them. And then why don't I fire you?
I think that's why this story resonates with people like Matt Damon and Christian Bale.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Hollywood in a nutshell, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like
the executives
are going to hire these artists to make things. And then they're going to turn around and tell them why what they made isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
When they're like, but you've never made a movie.
Right. And it fails and they blame the actor.
Right.
Like,
or the director.
Honestly, here's your wrestling corner. It's the current product. People are just like, oh, no, Seth Rollins sucks. It's like, no, you're giving him garbage to do.
Yeah.
So, like, he can't do anything. So you can't blame the wrestler for having a bad, you know, bad storyline when he's just like, I got a script. This is what I have. The boss says, I read the script and I read the script. That's as far as I can get.
But Shelby basically sweet talks him and he says,
a good scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How he just, you know, doesn't back off. Mm-hmm. And he's just,
well, he says, we find out that Josh Lucas is taking over.
Yeah.
And he's going to fire everybody. So he kind of locks, he lures Josh Lucas into the,
and he's playing Leo Beebe. I get B-E-E-B-E.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with the
BB?
Name, but
I think it's BB.
But if they're portraying this guy as he was, this guy is on the
awful
crap list.
Awful.
Like, yeah. What is
so
dude.
they Matt Damon, he's like, oh yeah, let's go upstairs and talk. And they go upstairs to talk. And then he locks him in the office, which I think is great. And he's like, he gets Henry Ford into the Mustang that they're going to race. Like, they've got the racing car down. And he gets him into the Mustang. He's like, you want to go for a ride? And he was like, yeah, you know, let's do it. And he lights him up. And he is going as fast as he can. He's tearing it up.
Like 200 miles an hour is what these cars go. And he doesn't realize what it takes to control a car going 200 miles an hour, what it's like.
Right. And I love this scene where he just starts, you think he's laughing, but he is
starts
definitely
crying.
Yeah.
Like bawling. I didn't know what it took.
He's like, I really like this scene too. Like, I think this guy, another like character actor I've never noticed before.
The guy that plays Henry Ford?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he does a really good, because he's like, there's so many mixed emotions that are running through this guy simultaneously because he's scared, but he's also happy.
Right.
And he's also sad. And
this
wistful.
Is Tracy Letts.
Yeah.
He's a big actor. He's a Broadway guy, I think.
Gotcha. But he's like, he's very much like, oh my God. Like, he's also having this moment of like what started with, you know, the Model T.
Uh-huh. But here
look where we're at.
Right.
You know,
we're about to go to Le Mans and hopefully win.
Right.
You know,
and so
yeah, he wrote August Osage County, the play.
Oh, wow. That's
the guy that plays Henry Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
wow. Good for him. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I know he was a famous on Broadway.
But I mean, and he really conveys all that in that moment of just like, because I was like, well, is he scared or was he excited by the ride or is he upset about his dad? And I'm just like, oh, geez, he's all of those things.
All of the above.
This is it. He was counter guy on Seinfeld in 1997. That's where
that's it.
Oh, sure.
That's counter exactly guy. What it is. See? Yeah, if we had more hair back then, that was the problem.
And more counters.
More counters, yeah. So Henry Ford gives Shelby whatever he wants. He's like, you go get Ken.
He says, let him race it this next thing.
Oh, that's what it was.
Wins,
that's
he
right.
He gets
that's
to drive.
Right.
If he doesn't, I'll give you Shelby.
That's what
the
it
company.
Was. Yes, correct.
The whole company. So he bets his entire company
on Ken
to win the next race, which is before Le Mans.
Right. Right,
to
right,
see
right.
how he can do. And that's an intense race, too. I mean, when it got to the action, and I thought it was well-directed and the car stuff, like when it was
the
exciting.
The car stuff was good.
There's a couple wonky CG things, but I think for the most.
It's not the best CG when it comes to the cars and like the super action pack, because obviously they're not recreating these whole races. But overall, I mean, the way it was filmed and framed, the action shots and everything were handled well. I mean, this is James Mangold.
Yeah, so did he do the Wolverine and Logan?
Yes, he did both.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's solid director.
One and a half good movies.
Oh, yeah. Because the ending of...
One and three-fourths good movies.
That ending was, my guess, is kind of
not
forced
him.
On him.
Yeah.
Like, but it still needs to be a superhero movie, right? Like, and then it came out and they realized, like, oh, no, it didn't need to be one.
Damn it!
Let's make Old Man Logan.
Yeah, let's make a superhero movie that's not a superhero movie.
Ta-da! Now we have Logan.
But he also directed Walk the Line with Joaquin Phoenix.
Sure, don't forget.
So that was the first thing I ever even
realized. He's an interesting director. Then those are four very different movies from each other.
Yeah.
So this is where Shelby goes back to Ken, and he kind of says they get into a fight, which I love. I liked this scene a lot where they start rolling around, and I love the nipple thing where he's just like you. I was like, did you grab my nipple? He's like, it's something I learned in the war.
Oh, yeah. So this is when he comes back to tell him, like, hey,
come on,
we screwed up. We need you to drive.
Yeah.
I don't like the whole lawn chair thing. I thought that was stupid. No one's really going to do that. Like, if you're...
I think you could.
It was too cutesy.
Yeah,
she comes out and she brings a launcher and a magazine to read. First of all, if your husband's fighting someone, you don't come out with a magazine.
If
you put a launcher up,
if you're coming out to watch it, why'd you bring a magazine?
That's true. That's
it's stupid.
The way I took that as is she knows their relationship. She knows they just need to work this out on their own.
So she wants to come out to read her magazine.
She's going to sit outside. Let them do their thing. She's gonna read her magazine.
Why'd she set up a lawn chair front row then?
Because she was just sitting there watching.
It's a stupid scene.
It didn't bother me at all.
It's just dumb. It's played up for laughs. It's a trailer moment. It's stupid. But
I thought it was funny.
It didn't ruin the movie, but it's dumb.
He being Ken acquiesces and kind of says fine. And then I do like where she's like, do you want? I guess I'm gonna go to the store since you threw all our freaking groceries all over the place.
My thought was he had two bags full of groceries and they're all over the ground. Right. Like,
but I guess if you're making $200 a day,
yeah,
it doesn't really matter.
Well, no, but it's just inconvenient. Yeah, I just thought he's ruined all his groceries.
Yeah, I do like
to be kind of old world, but if I'm making $200 a day and I'm working 60 hours a week,
why am I going to the store?
Maybe the stay at home mom could go to the grocery store. Just gonna throw that out there.
Maybe
I don't think that's a sexist thing. It's just about sharing of household duties. Yeah. And if you stay at home. home, then maybe the groceries fall to you.
Maybe.
Just throwing who that do out. I, who you know, I don't know how their marriage works. That's how mine would.
But yeah, so he goes and they do the race and he kicks the bejesus out of everybody. Right?
It's like close.
Is it close?
No, it's very close.
This is the one where they're telling them to keep the RPMs under 6,000.
That's right.
And then at the last minute,
they
you
say
know,
go.
They don't say go.
Yeah, he goes.
He does
Cole,
it. And
for Shelby
is this when he
says,
does the turn thing? Is it because he goes around the turn, or is that the next race?
He like comes out and holds up the sign that says, you know,
hit 7,000.
Hit 7,000.
Oh, that's right. That's
like
right.
Just like go for it.
Yeah,
and because he knows it's like, well, coming in second, I lose my company. So if the car to him a second is losing, so
right.
At that point, so like,
gun it.
If it blows up the car, it blows up the car. Who cares?
Yeah, if I'm gonna lose.
Yeah,
and he wins. And of course, they Josh Lucas is not happy that they won the because they think they came in like
And Ford has another team racing too, right? You've got Biebs, you know,
BB's team,
yeah,
and
his
and
number two
Shelby's team.
Team or number
it's two.
It's
McLaren.
McLaren's one of them,
which is a car, right?
McLaren is a car. Now, I presume since it's a racing movie and you have the name McLaren, there must be a relation there.
Has to be.
I don't know the history of McLaren to know if this guy founded McLaren or if he's a son.
I don't even know what McLaren is.
It's a car.
Oh, okay.
It's an F1. There's a McLaren F1. It's like a Formula One racing.
Ah.
And so maybe this guy was racing on this Ford team, and so maybe he does his own race thing.
Yeah,
again,
maybe.
I don't know enough history of
they
racing.
They give you no other than it's like, I feel like that's like a name drop for super gearheads.
Right, but if you hear the name McLaren, there's a reason why it's in there, but I don't know the history of it.
So, yeah, so there's two teams, and Josh Lucas has to call Henry Ford and says, we won.
Which
and
team?
And Ford's like, which team?
Him? Doesn't he say him?
He goes, Shelby. Yeah. Shelby's team. And I do like the look on his face. He's like, well, God damn it.
And they're just so douchey the whole time because it's
they
like
are.
You've got the right
they're
people.
They're planning the entire time.
You've got these people that can win, and they're winning. It's like, so Ford gets a win, but you know they're not happy because it's not their guys. And they're
scanning an article about Leo Beebe, and
yeah,
the
please.
Article is saying that like not at all how he was.
Oh, really?
He oversaw the teams, and that the story that is kind of famous within that world is that Ford gave BB two things, a handwritten note that said, you better win, accompanied with a blank check, and was just like, go do it. And that it sounds like it was the way this reads is that it was kind of his idea to have multiple teams. He's
his
like, let's,
BBs?
Let's, yeah, like, let's have multiple people working on this vehicle in different capacities. So
if one wins,
so like we have kind of different brain trusts attacking it from different directions, and then maybe we'll even merge those ideas or whatnot. But and
so
that
I think this was a dramatization.
Yeah,
it
does sound like it because like this article, like, so many people that like knew the guy are like, yeah, this guy's not. Like
that makes
that.
Me feel better than because I hated him in Ford. Like you know, this is a movie called Ford v Ferrari, and obviously being Americans, and this movie is about the Ford company. Like you want to root for them, but it just made me hate Ford so much.
Yeah.
And feel so bad for Shelby and Miles. Like this. Did not make me go rah rah Ford. It made me go F Ford, and I was so mad at them this whole movie.
So they get to Le Mans, and Le Mans. Everything's going okay. Like things are.
So this is a 24-hour race.
Just real quick. This is an interesting paragraph from this article about it, and it says there's certainly no debate about the fact that BB played a central role in the engineering of the infamous finish at Le Mans, which in the racing world is kind of like the JFK assassination. The more you read about it, the less you know.
Okay.
And even vetted facts must be viewed through a cloud of mystery, conspiracy, and emotion. So it sounds like there's a lot of like different people that have kind of manipulated this story to their own version of events.
Right.
And so like nobody really knows.
We'll get to this ending though, but either way, the fact that it happened, it just makes me so mad.
So basically the way this race is going to work is there are three Ford cars that are in this race, and the drivers can only drive for 4 hours at a time. And that's it. Like, and it's interesting. Like, I've
it's
never
a 24
seen...
hour race. It goes throughout like the French countryside.
Yeah,
it's a very long. It's not just normal. How many miles did he say?
I don't remember.
Oh, they gave the number in the movie.
But it's a long
it's
ass
very
race.
Long, yeah. But you just keep going and keep going for 24 hours.
Right, and you pit when you pit, and you just switch drivers every 4 hours.
I wish I understood, and I wanted a friend of the show, Jason Michael. He's up in Canada. He's a big Formula One and Le Mans fan and everything. He hadn't seen the movie yet, and I wanted to try to get him on because of his understanding.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I wish I knew all the rules, because what's always confused me, and just in car stuff in general, but especially with a race of this caliber, like, I don't understand the lapping thing, and, like, you know, they pit, and I'm just like, how do they count it? Is it like time or number of laps? Like, I just don't understand how it all works.
I mean, yeah.
They're just showing me people going around and they're stopping and going and taking breaks. And I don't know.
Well, when we get to the end of the race, like, they say that, like, you've got to lap him
three times.
Yeah. It's like, that's a lot.
Because he's three laps ahead of him. But all of a sudden he does it. And I'm like, well, how? I wish I knew how that was even possible to
come back.
Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't get
that's
it.
A good, that's a good question. I have no clue.
But you can follow because you're like, yay. Like, they show you, oh, he's winning now. So
right,
I just
right.
wish I knew how it actually works.
And that's the thing is, like, this basically becomes the fight in Rocky, where it's like he's down. And then all of a sudden he picks back up and and so that's the premise of this thing is, he being Ken is like, I'm going to win. Like, I want to win this race.
Yeah. So he has to pass Ferrari three times. He does it once and they're like, holy crap, he did it, you know, and he does it twice.
Right.
And they have a showdown and Ken is able to edge the other guy out. And then there's a third time and they go to the same straightaway, but this time Ferrari's not backing down.
Right.
And he pushes it. He just floors it and his engine blows up.
Well, also, like, yes, that happens. But at the same time, like, you've got a bunch of tension where, like, Josh Lucas doesn't want Ken to win. He does, like, he wants, I'm trying to think, like, there's just a lot going on. Like,
but this isn't until after
Ken's like asleep and he has to call, he usually calls home just to make sure that everybody's out after he gets out every 4 hours. But you're right. He's beating the bejesus out of everybody and he's killing the record. Like, he's setting his own records and then breaking his
own
records.
He's pushing it, you know, and we didn't even talk about, like, at the start of the movie, his door wouldn't shut.
Oh, yeah, that was
so
great.
He's driving and trying to close the door.
That's what it was. He's so far behind because he can't get his door to close. And then all of a sudden,
so when he comes in,
here comes Jed Clampett with a rubber mallet. And I was like, well, he's dead.
Yeah.
Like, the line at the beginning of the movie is like, as long as you can get out, well, you just smash his door closed so he can't get out.
But it, for some reason, opens and closes fine.
Not a problem.
I don't really understand that. But he shuts the door and then now he has to make up time.
Right.
And so Miles is just pushing it. He is going faster than anyone. He's setting track records.
Well, you talk about the door opening. It was the passenger door that kept coming open.
I thought he was on the right side.
I thought he was. Yeah, he was on
the right side drive.
You're right.
So but you see him reaching across the car to keep it closed.
It's his
side. Wasn't the one that it wasn't like the one immediately next to his body. He had to reach across the car.
I feel like you can see his legs, like, you can see him sitting there trying to pull it, keep it closed.
I think he's driving on the right. That's why he opens the door up and he's right there. Yeah. He's like, this won't close. It's right side drive. So it looks like the passenger to us.
I thought he was reaching across the car. Okay.
The way they film it, I thought that at first too. And then when he comes to pit and he opens the door, I'm like, well, how is he sitting right there? I'm like, oh, he's right side drive. So I think the way they filmed it made him look further away from holding it.
But
it was like he was back and the camera was showing him doing it.
Yeah,
it was a weird angle.
But, and he's cruising.
So, and now the whole time, so like, there's a lot of tension, obviously, between the Italians and Ford. And so at one point, the brakes go out and they replace the whole brake system. And Ferrari tries to come and say, you can't replace the system. You can only replace, like, brakes and the wheels.
But instead of it being in individual parts, they've already got the whole thing put together.
Out.
So it's one big part.
Yeah.
That was their way to get around it.
But either way, they said, we read your whole book and it doesn't say you can't change systems. They're like, a part is a part. You can replace it. And so now they
go.
Yeah. And so the whole time, so like, Shelby's stealing their stopwatches. Throwing a nut down. So they think they left a nut and sent the guy out with a loose wheel or something. Like, there's just whole American Italian tensions.
Yes.
You know, some played up for laughs.
I do like where Jed Clampett's like, nice stopwatch. He's like, I got another one.
That was a good line.
Yeah.
So we back to the mile stuff. So he beats Ferrari. Ferrari's out. Their engine blows.
Yep.
They're out of the race.
He's like five ahead.
Yeah, he's so far ahead. I think he's three laps ahead of the other Ford guys. So everything's great. I mean, Ken Miles is going to win Le Mans. He'll be the first person ever to win. Like, it's like the triple crown of car racing.
It was like Daytona, something else.
And Le Mans. So he'd be the first one to ever do this. And then Douchebag Magoo.
Sebring. Daytona and Sebring.
Okay.
But Douchebag Magoo goes up to Ford the second.
He's like, wouldn't it be great
For marketing, what if we had all the Fords cross the finish line at the same time? And I'm like, F you.
Well, as the marketing guy in me is like,
no, totally, I get it.
That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty good idea.
And as anyone that's trying to win a race, you don't blow a lead for a picture. Like, it's just so stupid.
But when
you
have three cars all in the lead, like, it's you get you
what
look
if
at that
raining,
and
they all blow up. Yeah, I mean, like, I get what you're saying, but it's so stupid. It's one of those
did make that call. He did. That's not fiction. He did. And
I guess
he can't change that.
Yeah.
Now, and then what happens?
So this is it's a moment of crisis of faith for Ken, where he doesn't play with the rules. But Shelby comes.
Shelby says
he's like, it's your call. Yeah. Like, you do what you got to do. I will back you 100. I don't care.
They
don't
want
care
you to
way.
Slow down. He says, yeah. He's like, what? Like, he's there saying, I'm going to win this race and be the first person, whatever.
Right.
But he says, it's your call.
Yeah.
He's like,
he's
my
like,
call.
It's your car. It's your
car.
Call. And he goes
faster than ever.
Yeah.
And
he
you're
breaks
like,
his
yeah.
own record.
And I'm like, screw you, Ford. I'm excited. And then
he realizes that Shelby put his ass on the line for him. So it's only the right thing to do to slow down.
Yeah, he looks in the rearview mirror. He sees no one behind him, and
right.
he's just like,
he pulls up.
And so you're like, okay, but cool. And he's nodding to the other guys. That's great. Hey, yeah. What's up, McLaren?
So
what's up, Brando?
They all cross the finish line, and everybody thinks, and Ken, they all come running to Ken, and then people start running past Ken. And Ken's like,
McLaren.
Like, the guy's got like the bouquet of flowers, and he runs past him. And
he's
Ken's
like,
Ken's just like, wait, what?
Oh.
And like, it turns out, I didn't even understand what happened.
So when they start the race, right?
Yeah.
It's the cars are all lined up single file, and you run into your car and jump in.
Which
so they're saying,
there.
They're saying that
which
McLaren,
is kind of like the how they would do it on Speed Racer, right?
Sure.
You see him running a car and jump in.
Right.
So and
they don't do that anymore, but they used to.
Yeah. And so the argument was that his car was further back in that line.
So when they finished together,
so
technically.
He had driven further. More. He had driven further.
Oh,
ergo,
okay.
he wins.
That's so maddening.
And
it made me...
And so this article that I'm reading, as you guys discuss, says that BB claims he had no idea that that would be a thing.
That's fair.
And
I can see him not
purpose. I don't think the movie, I didn't take it from the movie that he knew it was going to cost him
not
the race.
At all.
Right.
But
it was that stupid decision of trying to do something
but
for a photo. That
BB did make the call
to make the photo finish, do the
three cars at the same time. And that was him.
People are freaking out. They're like, they're going to cross at the same time.
Yeah. And
I wish it could have just been like 1, 2, 3. And not been to, you know what I mean? Like everyone could have somehow won.
And, but that, you know, he says he had no idea that apparently like the rules for Le Mans were not very well written and they were really like arcane. And that's part of how like the brake thing worked out is because they were just like, doesn't say it. And they were like, well, son of a bitch. I mean, they said it in French, but
that's not the same.
Yeah. And so like in the same way that like, even the people that ran Le Mans didn't realize this brake thing could be a thing, that like the Ford people didn't realize that like the distance that you started from the line could be a thing.
Sure.
But also apparently some people claim that McLaren shot ahead so he could win.
Ah.
And so there's a lot of controversy still about did BB cost him this with that decision, or did McLaren take advantage of a situation that
interesting.
He was gifted.
It's just like, but I mean, everyone knows, and I from the story that seems true, it's like Miles was ahead, he slowed down for them, and then and especially if McLaren did that douchebaggery knowing that the guy slowed down, like that's just, it's so
scummy.
Infuriating for the guy.
And this is the scene where like even Shelby's like, god dang, like I'm sorry, man. Yeah. Like, that sucks. Like, you know you won that race.
Well, this is a good line.
And he says...
You promised me the drive.
You didn't promise me the win.
That's a good line.
Yeah.
And, like, we
Which
both know
I
that I won.
I felt like was so his character. I love that line because that was really all it ever came down to. He didn't... He just wanted... He wanted the opportunity.
Yeah.
He didn't want a guarantee. He wanted the opportunity, and he wanted people to do what they said they were going to do.
But I still can't imagine this isn't a fictionalized series of events. Like, I bet Ken Miles was pissed.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, for this is a really sweet movie moment. But
I mean, I don't think he was pissed for long.
Somebody got punched in the face.
Well, no, because he was dead.
That's true.
Well, but after the race, I mean, he had six months.
That's true, yeah.
He had 6 months where he could be pretty pissed.
He didn't live very long.
No, he did not live very long after this.
Which makes it even more infuriating.
Yeah, it does. Because when watching, you're like, "Well, this guy's going to go back, and he's got to win this thing." Like, right? Like he's.
I had no idea. You know, from this, I didn't know the story.
Yeah, like I don't know.
No, I never knew the story.
So
it's like Drive. Like that's a real Drive's a real story, but I didn't know any of it.
You got to clarify.
Rush,
not
Rush. Sorry, Rush.
Oh, Rush. Okay.
Not Drive. I was like, Drive.
Not Drive.
Real story.
No.
So 6 months later, the whole team's together. Shelby's.
The Nick Cage classic Drive Angry.
Yeah. 3D.
Yeah. So they're back at the hangar, basically.
Yeah, they're in the desert
and
driving.
The kid's there, and they're just like, let's go. And he hops in, not the kid, but Christian Bale hops in the car, and he takes off, and the brakes go, and the car goes, and he doesn't get out.
You just see it in the distance. Like, they're all sitting there watching a poof of smoke, and you see some car parts, and like the kid is just staring.
Yeah, they're pulling the kid back. They're like, don't look. And all you see is his hat, like the cowboy hat.
Heartbreaking. And then
I thought this scene was like gut punch.
And then you flash forward, and Shelby's, you know, at his shop, and they're trying to sell expensive cars to people with money, and he's just, I think it's been another 6 months since that happened.
Yeah.
He's just not over it, which understandably so. And Jed Clampett, as we're calling him, comes up. He's like, can you come sweet talk these customers?
He's like, no, man, F them.
What am I going to do? I'm not here. Am I here to be your dancing monkey or
whatever? What am I, a clown here to amuse you?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you are.
Yeah. Your name's on the boat, on the billboard.
Yeah. And this is when he says, you know, it's been 6 months, whatever. And then that line where he's like, sometimes they don't get out of the car.
Yeah,
you know?
Because Shelby walks away and just like sometimes they don't get out of the car.
The gut
punch. Earlier in the movie, we should say that I got a huge buzz going.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were sober.
I am sober.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Earlier in the movie, there's a scene where Ken throws a wrench at Shelby, and it smashes his window.
Who throws a wrench?
Ken Miles
throws a wrench because that'll do some damage.
Inspiration for dodgeball.
Yeah. So Shelby has the wrench matted and hung on a wall. So he takes it, gives it, you know, gives it to the kid.
I remember that wrench.
Yeah, well, he goes, that's the one my dad threw at you. And he's like, yeah, yeah.
Very specific for a small silver wrench.
I know.
A nice movie moment. But I remember that wrench.
I know, I was thinking
that exact wrench.
That's the most ridiculous, but okay.
But he has a really good heart-to-heart with this kid. This kid's a great actor. Like, for what he's given to do, it's not much, but he kills every scene that he's in. Matt Damon is still pretty broken up about the whole situation. He's like, he's like, why didn't you go see him? He's like, I've called, like, I've thought about calling. I thought I'd come by, and he just can't do it. Can't bring himself to do it. It's a good scene where like the mom comes onto the front porch, and they kind of like share a glance, and they wave at each other. And then he hops in the car, takes like a handful of the nitroglycerin pills, I guess. Heart pills.
I know. I always thought that was just
a lot.
I just always just thought that was an old timey movie thing. I didn't know that was a real thing. My heart pills.
I eat like 7 or 8 of them.
And then he just like crazily drives off, like weaving
like
around.
He drives like a dick.
Yeah.
Like, the opening like scene, too. I'm like,
yeah.
Am I supposed to think he's cool? Because I just think he's a dick.
Yeah, driving around neighborhoods like that and almost hitting a car that he swerves around and they have to put their brakes on. Like, yeah, I've always hated that when it's like, oh, what a cool driver.
Yeah,
no,
I'm a cool dude. He's like, you're driving like an asshole.
Yeah, but that's how it ends.
And then you get a couple like, you know, tags at the end where they say that they went back and they won again.
Yeah.
Like for like, what, 4 or 5 years in
three
a row?
Hours,
I thought it was like four.
I think it's three.
Is it three including the one that we see?
Or four, I think it was 67, 68, and 69 or something like that. I thought it was three, but it's a few years in a row. And they're the only American company to ever win.
To ever do it, yeah.
Le Mans.
And that's kind of how it ends. I thought this was a lot of fun. It was really good. I enjoyed
it. It was interesting.
I agree that they could have trimmed 30 minutes.
It wasn't a movie. It was entertaining, but too long, and I wouldn't watch it again. You know, I'd watch Rush again before I'd watch this.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think the performance in Rush are better. I like the story of Rush, but I think it's a good companion piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought the driving scenes in Rush were just as good, too. Like, oh, people were raving about the driving scenes, and I'm like, but the driving scenes in Rush.
I don't know why. I didn't know back when we talked about it why it didn't get more love. Rush was great.
Yeah. And it's like this, it was kind of like the second Ron Howard movie that was supposed to be a big Oscar contender that just came out and did nothing.
What was the other one?
Frost Nixon.
Oh, yeah.
Which was also really good. So, like, I don't, like, you know. I don't want to be like he's cursed. I mean, obviously, he's an incredibly successful director.
Solo.
But it is kind of like, what is happening there? Because, he's not turning in bad movies.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. Like he started
he did that one?
Yeah. The Roger Corman one.
No, the one that we reviewed.
There's another one?
Yeah, it's the one with the guy from... Breaking Bad.
No, that was Need for Speed.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But so it's not like they're bad. I mean, they were all good movies that just, for whatever reason, didn't connect. It's unfortunate.
It's all Da Vinci Code nonsense.
He's the new Rob Reiner.
All of a sudden it was like he put out like 8 amazing movies in a row, and then it just like somebody flipped a switch and he was done. Yep. It was weird. Yep. Yeah. So, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, swing on by and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And you can check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month, that's all it is, and you get all sorts of bonus content, and you get to know that you're helping us out. So I guess coming up next week, we will tackle, it's an embarrassment of riches.
It really is.
Right now it's looking like probably Frozen 2 and It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the Mr. Rogers movie. So we will clean up our sweaters, which we'll need after
Cardigans.
Frozen.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Because it will be cold.
So cold.
It makes perfect sense. So,
My daughter had an interesting theory about Frozen.
Yeah.
And she said, what if Anna has fire powers? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, her hair's red and Anna and Elsa's hair is white. So what if all of a sudden in this movie she has fire powers? I go, kid, if that turns out to be true, wow.
She's been watching too much Game of Thrones.
She knows what's up,
right?
Yeah.
So
you heard it here first. Doom, 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 doom.
So anyway, that's what you have to look forward to. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Hunt promises to make 15,000 cars. He's bound it down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.